Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined on this show by Hayden Winks from Underdog Fantasy. Every single week, Hayden or Josh is going to join me on the show for this episode of the show because we are now presented by Underdog behind the scenes. I wanted this to happen really bad because I'm just a huge fan of Underdog. You guys know you can sign up with the promo code GRID right now, and you can get a free entry into the Pick'em contest that they're running. We'll definitely talk a little bit about Pick'em strategy. And Hayden, I'm super pumped to be here, and I'm so excited that we have real games and real stuff to talk about instead of, you know, grinding out the micro edges between, you know, who should I take in round 10.
I'm so over like the last second best ball picks and 18th round going over Quintez. Cephas is now back in the mix and stuff. It's just, it got really tiring, but I hope you guys aren't tired of Underdog Fantasy all this summer, because now we have daily contest and there's gonna be more things coming too. So it's not just gonna be a best ball product this year. We're gonna have a bunch of stuff for week one, week two, all the way through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about, because I mean, this is something we always talk about in fantasy, is like, do things that there's not a ton of content for, do things that not a ton of people are grinding. And then people see those opportunities and they just grind the main slate instead. They're like, all right, great, I'm going to work on my single entry team for the main slate on FanDuel instead. And it's like, no, there are actually all of these games out there that are much more beatable. And Underdog is like incentivizing people, like a lot, like some of these pickup lines for Thursday night look pretty soft. Like they're really incentivizing you to make money on their platform. But we got to wrap up best ball season a little bit here. I mean, I guess just from like a super high level, how insane is it that best ball is this big now? Like it's so absurd that there you can win $1 million drafting fantasy football best ball teams.
We launched the puppy one that filled immediately. Then we did the puppy two. And then I wasn't part of the meeting for the puppy three sizing. And then I saw that one was $1 million. I'm like, we still have this $3.5 million tournament. But yeah, people want to draft. Like that's like the basics of fantasy football. And I think that people are realizing that they like the daily games more, like when September and October comes around, and less so worrying about their start sit questions, grinding the waiver wire. And this way you can do a bunch of drafts in the off season. You're not going to get completely damped down on like Tuesday night. So I think that best ball for sure is here to stay, especially with some of the other products that we'll be launching eventually. But yeah, the best ball mania stuff was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm glad that there's more content being provided about it. I think that was probably the biggest thing of this summer versus last summer is, yeah, best ball existed previously, but like you have people like Eric Beinfort and some other people that are literally only doing best ball content. That's it. And that's pretty exciting for the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Super, super exciting. It's always like the form of fantasy that I think I've liked the most. Like I put on my boomer head here, but like, I remember having to make every pick on MFL 10s via email. There was no tournament. You were just in 12 man self-contained leagues and like you won $110 for first place. And that was like what it was. And it's just this whole big thing now. So obviously people who follow you on Twitter, they know about the charts on charts on charts. They know that you love a good data visualization, lots of good win rate stuff, you know, expected points. But I think you're uniquely qualified to talk about this. What do you think all of our research being put into drafts in real time is going to do to win rates? Because obviously what we saw as the summer went on is everyone realized, okay, we got to take rookies because rookies are going to, they break out and they have these disproportional rewards at the end of the season when the points really matter. Oh, we got to stop taking running backs. We got to start taking wide receivers. And I just am very curious to see what that does to the data a year down the road. Like, what are we going to learn from this season?
The biggest change was the running backs versus wide receiver pricing. And I think there's a definitely good reasons why those two shifted. The running backs were literally being drafted about one or two rounds later, once you got past like the top 12 or 14 running backs. And that was like a justified move. But now I'm wondering if we took it too far and that some of these like dead zone RB guys, or some of the heavier running back builds, if you're talking about like three running backs within like the first 10 rounds, if those win rates are actually going to adjust back, and that we just kind of went over too much with the running backs versus wide receiver thing. But yeah, it's really interesting just because there was a lot of content, I think, earlier into Best Ball Mania that was kind of being driven based off of full PPR and some of that stuff. And I don't think that that's completely the right way to look at it. I think that half PPR best ball is way different than like full PPR redraft league, just because what you can do with the running back position. So I think by the end of like August, I started noticing more people kind of giving up on the full PPR redraft advice and kind of actually hunkering down with the half PPR best ball, because I think that was like the biggest edge, was like realizing that there's a difference between those two formats.
One of the things I am terrified of is that the best value picks end up being Melvin Gordon, Josh Jacobs, James Connor, who were some of those other like fifths, Mike Davis. Because I think that the teams that took those guys are going to have a different roster construction than lots of the other teams that make the playoffs. Like they're going to, like if Mike Davis has an okay regular season, but ends up having like just, you know, just crushes the playoffs, that's going to be a really unique roster construction. And I just like, I am just seeing this movie play out in my head where Josh Jacobs has 22 half PPR points in week 17. And he ends up being this like 16% win rate guy, because so many teams in Best Ball Mania 2 were drafted with four running backs, two of those running backs being, you know, AJ Dillon and Tony Pollard, right? Or AJ Dillon and Alexander Mattison. And I mean, we're going on year three of Tony Pollard going in the 10th round of drafts, despite, you know, never doing anything.
That's the thing with like all the win rate data, especially like after this next season, we'll have 2 years of best ball data on Underdog. And I think that's like getting enough of a sample size where you can start reaching some conclusions. But if Dalvin Cook and Zeke Elliott miss the entire season, then you have like all this Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison win rate stuff. It's going to just like completely throw off everything. So I don't think the game's going to be completely solved for a couple more years for sure, just because we're dealing with smaller sample sizes. And like we just saw this last season, one win rate stuff could be completely changed just because the market prices differently on each position. So we'll see. Like the other thing was like three quarterbacks versus two quarterbacks. Like I think that a lot of people were just jamming in two quarterbacks and never looking at three quarterbacks. But I think that this last year, the influx of like the rookie quarterbacks kind of make, I think, three quarterback builds more obtainable, because I don't think that the gap between the elite quarterbacks is going to be quite as wide as it was last year, when kind of all those rookie quarterbacks and some of the aging quarterbacks weren't the dual threat guys. So it's just going to keep changing every single year. Like I always want to be data focused with all this stuff, but you have to like understand that there's going to be different prices and just different players in the player pool overall.
The three quarterback one is interesting, because, you know, on one hand you can say, well, you literally can only get points from one of those guys, right? Like you max, you can only have one. So if you take Dak and Trey Lance and Derek Carr in any given week, you're only getting points from one of them, even if Trey Lance, you know, starts in week two or whatever. But this season is so unique because of the ceilings offered by Lance, by Fields, by Trevor Lawrence. Like I don't know. I honestly don't know if we'll ever see anything like this again, where Mac Jones, I think, has like very little fantasy ceiling, even if he's a good real life quarterback. But I don't know if we'll ever see those guys come in again and see four rookie quarterbacks going in the top 15 of redraft. And like, if those guys all crush, it's gonna have this hilarious impact on the teams that make the finals. Because, you know, if Trey Lance scores like 20 half point PPR points a game, like Kyler and Mahomes teams are just like dusted off, because they spent all this draft capital where they should have been taking wide receivers.
I also think like we got to watch out for Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. Like I know they're just in pocket guys, they don't run, but like those two offenses like could really crush, and those guys were being priced like around those rookies as well. So I thought that this year the depth at like the high end quarterback two market this year was really, really strong, and we did not have that last year at all. So I thought that if you went like Tom Brady, Justin Fields, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or somewhere in that group, I thought that was totally justifiable. The other thing we always have to talk about, the three quarterbacks, like, yes, you can only start one of them, but you're drafting your 10th wide receiver. Like you can only start four of them too. Four, so it's always a give and pull here. And it ultimately just comes down to, when did you draft your positions in the draft? If you drafted two running backs early, stop drafting running backs in rounds 5, 6, 7, and 8. If you drafted an elite quarterback, you're only drafting one more, and it should be like in that Baker Mayfield area, and you shouldn't draft three quarterbacks. So really it's just, there's diminishing returns at every single position. And I think just always assume that you're right in the first 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds and you'll be okay.
Well, and there's even more micro layers too, because it comes through point distributions. Like, it might just happen that Dak Prescott and Derek Carr have the absolute perfect point distributions, where every week where Dak does poorly, Derek Carr has a good game, or make it three quarterbacks, right? Make it, make it Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, and Jameis Winston. And they have the absolute perfect point distributions. And that was actually like the nut roster construction. And something I've been thinking about is, you know, obviously Sims is like that's like the topic du jour in DFS. People are talking about, oh yeah, I do my Sims, I got my leverage, I have these perfectly constructed, my Mona Lisa fantasy lineups. And like,
yep.
I don't know, how close are we to people figuring out how to do Sims for best ball? Like, the computing power needed is obviously like, I mean, it's like almost infinitely more than you would need, because you're doing all these individual games, but it's 256 games in an NFL season. And, but someone's going to do it. Like, I guarantee someone is going to start trying to figure that stuff out.
I think best ball content next year is going to be, there's going to be like twice as much of it. I think that everyone realized this year how big the space is getting. And then I think there's going to be a lot more content. I think that deservingly so. I think the market for it's like really, really starting to pick up fast.
Yeah, I think probably like 2 million to first next year for Best Ball Mania 3. I mean, we got to see how big it gets.
I have no idea, but yeah, I would guess it's going to be bigger.
Yeah, and something I would love, I think would be great about that Underdog could offer is like, different contest types, right? A super flex best ball contest, accumulative points instead of the playoffs, right? Because that definitely changes the strategy. And, you know, obviously they were like super heavy in customer acquisition for the last 4 months. And if they, you know, I hope, you know, that the user base grows where like they feel comfortable offering different stuff like that. Like they did the rookie sophomore one, which is, which was a cool game. I threw some entries in there. Like I would love to have those options. Super flex best ball would be like just such a mind meld and a difference from what we already do.
I would assume that we'd like to keep one tournament where you can draft throughout the entire season. Like Best Ball Mania
2 sure.
Literally going to fill like a couple hours before week one. And that's really cool, because there's like all that game theory stuff with like Daryl Henderson injuries, James Robinson injuries. Like, how do you adjust with that? But I like that idea of like using like one of the puppies is a super flex puppy. And
yes.
That fills in like 2-3 weeks. And then the next one is, maybe it's like a sleepers only, where you only have like players in the player pool that are like after pick 100 or something.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that we can do. So luckily we've hired a couple more devs to help us out to work on all this stuff.
Yeah. So that stuff, you know, it's all well and good. We're all very excited about best ball. We're all feeling good. We are a little burnt out though about talking about like Antonio Brown's value in the seventh round. So I thought we could start talking about some of the stuff that you can do on the site now, because that's going to, when we do this show on a weekly basis, we're going to talk more about the Pick'em contest that they are running and about Battle Royale. And I guess let's start talking about Battle Royale, and then we can end with some Pick'em chatter. So what is the Battle Royale game?
So it's a mini fantasy draft where it's depending on if it's a single game slate or if it's like the entire week one slate, where you're drafting with either 3 players or 6 players. And it's just like 3 rounds or 6 rounds. So you're only talking about 12 flex positions for the single night stuff. So like Thursday Night Football, we throw out Dak Prescott and Tom Brady, but you get down from your Zeke Elliott's all the way down to your Dalton Schultz will be getting drafted. And it's just flexes. And you're just trying to win not only your own little draft, but in a bigger draft, kind of how you're looking at like Best Ball Mania 2, where you win your league and then you advance. Well, this is just a single game contest. So you're competing against everybody, not just people you're drafting against. But the big thing is, just because there's only like 36 people that are being drafted for the entire week one slate, the best thing to do is, obviously you're dealing with correlation, but like there's only 36 players out of all of week one that are being drafted. So someone like that, like the T Higgins probably isn't being drafted in most drafts, but if you wanted to differentiate, it's probably best in your last pick or last 2 picks to go outside of that top 36 overall, scroll down a little bit and then pick somebody from that. Because I think if we look back at the data, we're going to see that all the people that are being drafted are coming at like the top 6 quarterbacks, the top six tight ends,
running backs.
And if you drafted the 9th tight end and he scores 2 touchdowns, well, guess what? You just lapped the entire field. So I think this is a really cool way to kind of game theory yourself out of the top six picks and avoid the chalk. But it's just like all the DFS stuff. It's correlation and it's finding low in plays.
So that is, I think, the perfect example of where a little bit of persistence, a little bit of grind, and a little bit of effort is going to give you plus EV rosters, right?
Definitely.
And it's very easy to contextualize this in a DFS context. Like, listen to any DFS podcast this week, and they're going to be like, all right, well, Marquez Callaway is the chalk, so probably don't take him and take, you know, Rondale or Terrace Marshall or whatever. So like you transition that thought and you're like, okay, you know, well, everyone's obviously taking DeAndre Hopkins, but like, what if I take Rondale Moore? Like, I'm going like way off the board, like Rondale Moore. So this week, the Battle Royale has a max entrance of 22,554. Of those entrants, I would guess Rondale Moore will be drafted by like 100 of them. Maybe, right. Like you're talking about a guy who goes in like the 9th, 10th round of Best Ball Mania 2 here at the end. It's the first week. People are on that game, right? So you're like even actually applying leverage to other people who are taking guys from that game.
And it's a 30-second clock where you don't have to like usually DFS, you have all week to think about, how am I going to get this exact little correlation? But this, it's even crazier than like your typical best ball drafts in the summer, because like you really need to get max correlation just for this one game. So I think that scrolling down and being pretty cognizant of that. And the second part is there's a lot of game theory at like the onesie positions. Like this week, Battle Royale, the tight ends, you have Travis Kelce and George Kittle are on the slate. And then there's no Darren Waller. Then you have Hawkinson and Pitts. There's no Mark Andrews. And then there's a huge drop to Robert Tonyan, and that's five. So somebody is getting completely left out as their sixth tight end. So there's also like this thing, all right, when am I drafting Travis Kelce? I don't want to be the team stuck with Robert Tonyan or punting it all the way off and have to all of a sudden be drafting Cole Kmet. So there's a bunch of little game theory stuff. And like you said at the top of the show, there's not that much content being built around this at all. So if there is an edge, I think the time to exploit it is like right now when people are still like learning the game.
Yeah. You know, another thing would be, so like the correlation game, I actually think like our correlation brain might break us a little bit too, where you, like, honestly, it's like Pavlov's dog. Like I open the underdog app and I'm like, okay, I'm in Battle Royale. I took Christian McCaffrey with my first pick or whatever. Okay, now I need to make sure to get my quarterback with my wide receiver. But actually, the smaller the contest and the fewer people you need to beat, like probably the correlations are going to matter a little bit less. Like you probably just want to be taking there's probably like, I mean, definitely there exists the optimal approach of projected points versus how many of your opponents are expected to take those guys. And I have a sense that people will not be drafting that way.
Definitely. I think that it would be very easy to over correlate just like to a detriment to yourself. Like if you drafted Patrick Mahomes this week, I don't necessarily think that you need Mecole Hardman, because Mecole Hardman, the chance that he's a top six wide receiver this week is still pretty low. And in standard DFS, if Mecole Hardman has the wide receiver 16 week, you're looking pretty bad. In this game, since you're only drafting six players total per team, you don't need to go that far down. But like the perfect example would be like, no one's gonna be drafting Matt Ryan, but maybe this is the week where you go Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley. And if Calvin Ridley has a huge game and Matt Ryan is like all of a sudden the number one quarterback of the week, now you've already differentiated, because no one's gonna be drafting Matt Ryan. He'll be ranked like quarterback 12 when everyone's only drafting six overall.
Yeah, I wonder if the right way to frame it is actually to leave quarterback to last a lot of the time, because they're like, the like 75th percentile Patrick Mahomes game is like 4 or 5 points better than like the 50th percentile Matt Ryan game or whatever. Like so many of these quarterbacks are going to score in between 18 and 25 points, especially because we're picking from the top of the pool, right? We're picking from Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Ryan Tannehill. And those guys are going to be in a pretty tight range. Now, definitely, I think the interesting guy, and he's not on this slate, but of course he will be in weeks in the future, is Lamar. Because in this scoring specifically, Lamar like breaks half point PPR scoring with no bonuses. You know, rushing touchdowns worth 6 points. The passing yardage, you know, it's all about the rushing yardage for him. And I wonder if unstacked Lamar, like naked Lamar, is actually like one of the picks that you want to be chasing in these.
Definitely. I would say like someone like Marquise Brown. It's hard for Marquise Brown to finish like the top five wide receivers overall. So with like Lamar Jackson, to me, it'd be like if you drafted Mark Andrews in the second round or whatever, because I do think the elite tight ends are going to fly off the board pretty early. Like you saw that, how much of you didn't eat the three-man contest or the six-man contest? Like Travis Kelce would go like 101, like over the CMC teams just because of that huge elite tier. Because everyone just so scared of being left out with the tight end stuff. There's just going to be so much little game theory stuff. And like, really like me, I'm trying to provide content with all this stuff, but this game's still so new and it's so not figured out yet that I think that it's a good spot to kind of grind out some edges.
Yeah. I mean, if you are like, if intuitively this format kind of makes sense to you, like if you pick up your underdog app right now and you're like, oh, okay, you know, like I'll go enter into a battle royale. I'm like, you just start to figure it out a little bit easier. It would definitely be something I would say to like allocate more resources to. Like your expected edge in the $50 single entry on DraftKings is going to be way smaller than your expected edge in this if you spend any time working on it at all, like, or any time like consciously thinking about it.
There's a reason that I think Justin Herzig said that, like, he was grinding three-man, six-man contests. Like, it's like literally max entering every single bit he could because like there's just no content around those two things. And this is like basically that same exact product on the DFS thing. And this is the format where you kind of roll over that ROI for 17, 18, 19 weeks all the way through the playoffs. So I think it's a game to definitely learn just because I think a lot of people just like put in $5 on it and not really understand all the intricacies of it. And I think that this is a spot to win at.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's give out some picks then, some of the guys that we would maybe be interested in for this first week. You know, I mean, I think that like quarterback is an interesting decision because I think there's like kind of like a premium tier and it would be Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. And then I think that after that, like I could not fault you for viewing all the other quarterbacks after that, like basically the same way.
Definitely. Yeah. And to me, Kyler Murray is just like in the absolute perfect spot. Titans and Cardinals, both top three in neutral pace. Both of their defenses are not very good. And like, this would be an opportunity if you drafted like DeAndre Hopkins for a huge game and AJ Brown, your last pick could be Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think that many people are going to be drafting Ryan Tannehill in this just because it's like the top six quarterbacks. So like, that would be a good way to kind of stack up this game. But I think like just based off like regular DFS, I don't think you need to have like four people from the same lineup. Like a stack could just be.
No, I think that's bad. I
think it would be bad too.
Yeah. I think that because you only have six lineup spots, and one of six teams in every league is going to have access to Christian McCaffrey. I think that the overcorrelation is bad because the likelihood of a quarterback one, a wide receiver one, and the wide receiver four and the running back two all coming from the same game is like fairly low.
For sure. I agree with that.
Yeah. Cause there are no salary cap constraints. And like, we're even thinking about this like in DFS terms, but when you switch from salary cap constraints to just like round constraints, the roster construction becomes much different. Like, the reason that we talk about stacking so much in DFS and in best ball is because you are using like a set amount of capital. Like if you think about, you've talked about this and Karain has talked about this, but like assigning a dollar value to each pick or to each round. But when you only are making six picks, the dollar values, like I would assume the dollar values of round of your first and second picks are very high. And then the dollar values would really diminish 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. What about running backs? Do you have any good running backs here? I was going to throw out, I mean, Alvin Kamara is just like in the absolute nut spot. You came around, you were 102 for Kamara, right?
Yeah, by the end of the puppy in Basketball Mania 2, I was taking him second over Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have in full PPR this week, I have Alvin Kamara projected for 24 points, which I have him projected a hair over Dalvin Cook in full PPR, which I think is a hot take. Like I was looking at Cardi's stuff on the Blitz and he has Dalvin Cook higher, but like I'm just looking at the market shares and everything for the Saints. And like, am I going to give Tony Jones 35% of the backfield in week one? Like I don't, or Taysom Hill 20% of the rushes. Like, I don't think I can.
No way. This is the desperate Saints. Like we've never seen the Saints desperate for production out of Alvin. I think that they were like properly using him the last couple of years to save him. But this is the year where like, all right, Alvin, we need to ride you all the way. So I think that a lot of the rushing market share stuff, I think, could be kind of thrown out the window. I wouldn't be surprised if we had like the Christian McCaffrey season this year. I mean, they need him so, so bad. And just matchup wise, it's a good matchup against the Packers. New defensive coordinator, their linebackers are both new and both like really like poorly paid, like under $2 million players. And the Packers got shredded on defense against running backs last year. So I think Alvin's going to have like a huge, huge, huge week to start.
So I was thinking like, okay, who are some of the running backs who are unlikely to be drafted in most leagues, but who like can completely smash? And I think there are two names that look unlikely to be drafted in everyone. Now, maybe they get drafted a lot, but not in everyone. And they are Nick Chubb, just because they're in this horrible spot as road dogs at Kansas City, and then Raheem Mostert. So I think Mostert probably gets drafted a fair bit. But I mean, this is like Antonio Gibson is like my 11th projected running back this week. Like, it's a star-studded slate. And if Mostert gets 60% of the rushes for the 49ers in this game, like, it is just completely wheels up.
Definitely. And Mostert, I don't think, came off the field in the preseason finale with the first team offense, at least for the first drive. And yeah, I think that he has like as much 80-yard touchdown potential as anybody in the league. So totally with you. And with Nick Chubb, I mean, the Chiefs, like, I know they're favorites here, and it's a road game and all that stuff, but the Chiefs were really bad against the run last year. I think they're like purposely doing that. They just want to play too high and just let everyone run against them. But I mean, they were 31st in rushing EPA defense last year, and the Browns didn't lose anybody on offense. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Chubb had 100+ yards and a couple touchdowns here.
Yeah. All right. And then I guess James Robinson would be the other one, but I don't have a ton of conviction in that. But like, I guess the thing I'm just worried about is that Carlos Hyde also gets like 11 carries here.
I'm really not like, I think that Urban is adult, but I don't think that he's that much where he's going to give Carlos Hyde that much work. Like, to me, James Robinson is just so much better. And I think that he knows that. I'm going to give Urban the benefit of the doubt to start the season here. Famous last words.
Yeah. All right. Wide receiver. I would guess that if Underdog sent you into the charting minds to start figuring out this data, my guess would be that this is the position that's going to reward you most for taking dart throws. Like, you're probably going to get punished more often at running back, you know, not having one of the top six guys, not having CMC, Kamara, Cook, or whatever. But like, a huge percentage of the time, there's going to be, you know, a Jamar Chase, a Brandon Ayuk, a Corey Davis, who is, you know, outside the top 24 wide receivers, who go for 5 catches, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, just to take a step back, the positions that you have to fill, it's one quarterback, one running back, 2 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 flex. So you could do 1 running back, 3 wide receivers if you want to. So I do think this is going to be a wide receiver game. Obviously, I think that like, you lucked into the 101, you have Christian McCaffrey, and then you draft 3 wide receivers. I think that's like the blueprint to upside. Individual players, like, I think that we can see Odell Beckham. We haven't seen him in a while. I wonder if the Browns are just going to be a little more pass heavy than we're used to. And Odell Beckham's like legit back. Like, every training camp report is pretty good. And there's obviously tons of ways you can run it back with Tyreek and Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. So I'm definitely interested in Odell. And he's not going to be drafted that much.
No, he won't. DJ Shark, another one. Like, I just think the Jaguars and LaVisca, like, I just think the Jaguars are just going to steamroll the Texans so bad. Like, are you on board with this, that the Texans are just going to be like, I think they're going to be this year's Jets, where like, they're going to be like 17-point home underdogs, and like, no one's going to want to take them.
I was shocked to see that the Texans weren't projected for the least amount of points this week. Like, that blew my mind, really. Like, I think that should be automatic, that they should have the fewest amount of points. I think this might be the highest projected total for them all year, especially after you see what they look like in week 1.
Yeah. All right. Who are some of the, how about Devonta Smith? That, like, that's such an interesting angle. Yep. Hurts as a guy who I expect to be drafted pretty frequently in these. He's my 7th highest projected quarterback of the Sunday slate. So maybe he's not 100%, but he should be taken, you know, over Aaron Rodgers some of the time, over Russell Wilson some of the time. But I mean, like, how many times have we seen the Falcons give up these, you know, insane games to people?
I'm also a huge fan of Devonta Smith. I would not be surprised if he has a better season than Ja'Marr Chase. He looks so good. And I think that the one thing that's overlooked with him is he's so smart. And that's just something you heard if you ever listened to Nick Saban talk about Devonta Smith. Like, that was the big thing. And the Eagles are going to play a ton of zone defense this year just because Jalen Hurts is the quarterback and teams don't want to get scrambled on. And Devonta Smith is like the dude to kind of figure out the opposing defenses. Like, I don't think that's Jalen Reagor's game. I would be surprised if that's Quez Watkins' game because he's just so inexperienced. I think that they're just going to lean on Devonta Smith. And he looked untouchable in the preseason games. Like, some of those routes and stuff was pretty nasty.
Yeah, I'm not so like from like a watching football perspective, I don't know yet because I just don't know what a 170 pound like the guy looks so skinny. He really only looks like a shade bigger than Tutu Atwell to me out there,
Yeah.
but I can't deny that I can't deny that this, you know, first round draft pick, a quarterback I believe in, you know, those sorts of things are lining up. And then I mean the big question is, who is going to be the sixth tight end? So we got Kelce, we got Kittle, we got Pitts, we have Hawkinson, maybe Noah Fant. Did you know Noah Fant was hurt?
They we never knew what the actual injury. I just kept seeing leg, and it was just super vague.
I was the only reason I know about it was I was Googling Albert Okwuegbunam stuff because I was my
Of
dynasty
course.
teams are on. Well, my dynasty teams are on cut day. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, I got to figure out what I'm doing with him. And like the team was saying a bunch of nice stuff about Albert O because Noah Fant was injured, I guess. So, but we gotta figure out who's the sixth tight end to take stabs on because there are, you know, if Fant plays, we got Goddard, we got Tonyan, we got Gesicki, Logan Thomas, Zach Ertz, Janu. You know, like there are loads of guys.
I think Gesicki, this is like could be a spot with no Will Fuller. I mean, he's going to go up against Kyle Duggar, who's really athletic. But I think that this is the spot with Adam Shaheen on the COVID list, where if like Gesicki's not going to get it done this week, it's going to be hard for him the entire season. So it's a really bad matchup overall, just because they're in New England. But I think that this is the week where you're going to see Gesicki's snap share, route share, all that stuff. It could be the highest of the entire season.
I really like that one. I'm pretty long on two. I mean, two is my most drafted quarterback on Underdog. Are you feeling bullish about him?
Not really. I mean,
Really?
I don't know what to think about him. After watching like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and some of these other guys break through, I'm kind of on the boomer take of I think you have to be like a complete alpha athlete to make it. And I'm not sure if Tua is just like got that part of it. It was kind of weird that he wasn't named a team captain either. I mean, I don't know what to read into that. That
Oh,
was kind
no,
of
that
odd.
is weird.
That
No,
is
that
weird.
it's always weird when a quarterback is not a team captain. That's weird.
Jalen Hurts was a team captain. And I mean, Tua can't do it. That was questionable to me, but I'm definitely willing to be wrong if Tua has an awesome year. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to run the ball at all though. And like the offensive line's going to be really bad. So I think that Tua is going to have a bunch of pass attempts in a lot of games just because I literally don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at all this year. So maybe backdoors into a lot of things.
All right. And then, I mean, the last thing we got to talk about the pick'em games because this is like this stuff is always fascinating to me, especially when it's fantasy point related. Like I love prop games based off of fantasy points. So we only have right now stuff. Oh, wait, no. They
We've
posted
added a
our Sunday
bunch.
games. There we go. Okay, so I'm just going to go through some of these and I'm going to fire off a Sunday parlay, and we can just start. I mean, this is the most fascinating one, right? Kyle Pitts over under 43 and a half receiving yards. Like, that's got to be Kyle Pitts remains such an enigma to me. I want to just smash this over though.
I don't think he's going to play much inline this year. And like, this is the spot against the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles linebackers have been a disaster for like 5 years and they still haven't fixed it. So I don't know who they plan on putting on Kyle Pitts this week. And also Arthur Smith, I mean, he runs the ball a lot, but somehow they were top three in neutral pace last year. I mean, that really surprised me. So I wonder if the Falcons are going to play with pace and they're not going to be able to run the ball like the Titans will. And then you're going to see Matt Ryan with a bunch of dropbacks again
Yeah, a
this
bunch
week.
of like 44 dropbacks a game or
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah. All right, I'm adding that in. Kyle Pitts over is added to the pick'em. We got to make, we got, you know what, we're going to go for the 20X here on Sunday. So we're going to make five picks.
Real all quick, right. Can I just explain the game real quick? Just pick.
Yeah, Yeah.
So it's a player parlay and you can pick up to five players. And depending on how many players you pick, that's when your multiple goes up. So if you draft five players, then the multiple is, I think it's 20X. And then if it's two players, it's 3X. And then in between that kind of varies. So we have a bunch of over under props, and there's also rivals, which is really interesting just because that's like head to head. So like, for example, tonight it's like Tony Pollard versus Zeke Elliott, and Zeke Elliott has like a 56.5 spread over Tony Pollard for rushing and receiving yards. So you don't forget to click over to the rivals tab. So if you're feeling like Tom Brady over Dak Prescott on
opener, that's so sick.
Yeah, that's sick too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm in. Yeah. This is just, it's the best, dude. It's like my casino just never has to leave my hand. It's so amazing. All right. So we got our first pick. We're taking the Kyle Pitts over. I feel very strongly that this is going to be like a 55 pass attempt game for Ben Roethlisberger. I think they're going to be down 14-0 like immediately. Which guy do you like the over on? Juju 49.5, Deontay 56.5, Claypool 49.5.
I'm with you with the Big Ben stuff. I think that to open the year, this will be the healthiest Big Ben will be. And he kept talking about it in his interviews this offseason that last year he had to throw thousands of passes for his rehab on his elbow. And this year he kind of just took things off. I think he was like you on the Stairmaster.
Yeah.
This entire offseason lost some weight. And I think that he's feeling rejuvenated. So I'm kind of with you on the Big Ben passing game stuff with the Steelers, especially against the Bills. So I'm always just a Chase Claypool guy. There's nothing about the matchup either way. And we don't even know all their roles just because the offense is changing a little bit. But like, to me, just like, there's just no way that Deontay Johnson is going to be better than Chase Claypool in the long run. So I'm a Chase Claypool apologist for sure.
Yeah. I don't love any of the Bills ones that are posted. It's a lot of fantasy points for Josh Allen. I mean, maybe it's all right. The Vikings though, I feel like 85.5 receiving yards is a very high line for Justin Jefferson, though I would imagine, you know, come Sunday morning, his, you know, sportsbook props or whatever will probably be like 95. So that feels like a little bit of an arb spot.
I think the Bengals top corner is out as well. So like, it's the perfect spot. Like, we weren't worried about the Bengals corner. I know that you specifically are never worried about any corners, like when you're talking about a Bengals backup cornerback, like, come on, you got to throw a little bit of more projection on that, please.
Yeah. Okay. Julio Jones, 57.5 receiving yards in this game against the Cardinals, where, I mean, that's like the smash game of the week. Like, everyone expects that game to have loads of plays, loads of points. And Julio is 13 yards shorter than AJ Brown. And I think over the course of the season, it'll play out that way. But like, the same argument for Ben exists for Julio right now, which is this is the healthiest he could possibly be.
Yeah, I think that their best ball prices were justified because Julio is like a lock to miss more games than AJ Brown. But when they're both starting out there, like, I think that you can project them pretty similarly. It was like the same thing with Jalen Hurts. I always struggled because I wasn't always buying in that Jalen Hurts is going to play 17 weeks. But every single time Jalen Hurts is active, I'm going to be ranking him inside like the top six, top eight every week. So I think it's the same thing where don't look at like Julio's best ball pick and apply that to like a DFS game.
That is like a very difficult thing to do right now, is to transition your brain from like, okay, this is what I expect guys to do over 17 weeks to what I expect these guys to do this week, because like, we are expecting things to change over the course of the season. But the only thing we have right now is the 1 week. Like, that's literally all that we can go on. Yeah.
Like, I don't think that, I think people are going to rank Javonte Williams like as a top 24 running back or somewhere near that. Like, it's not happening for a little bit, in my opinion. So like, like the classic one where throw him seven spots lower than where he was being drafted in best ball for this week.
Yep. And then my final one, I think you will agree with this, Alvin Kamara over 110 combo yards. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's the only way they can move the ball. Like, literally.
I mean, yeah, that's the one. That's the best one I've seen so far.
Yeah, so we have all overs here, of course, because we like, I'm a positive person. I'm not trying to, maybe I'll go back and do an all unders one a little bit later. So we have Kyle Pitts over 43.5 receiving yards, Chase Claypool over 49.5, Justin Jefferson 85.5, Julio Jones 57 and Alvin Kamara over 110.
We got some beasts out there. Some good players. There we go.
It's beautiful. Everyone, I would encourage you to get on this because eventually these lines are going to sharpen up. I wonder, are you guys going to build in a functionality to have the lines move over the course of the week? Like if you guys are just getting pounded on, yeah, Kyle Pitts is over or whatever.
So I think that the lines will come out pretty early in the week. Like the Thursday night ones were out there definitely early. And then throughout the week, we'll keep adding to more of them. Like all of a sudden, right now I'm looking at Zeke Elliott after a refresh. Now there's three different Zeke lines. You can always expect new lines to kind of trickle in. But yeah, we move them throughout the week based off of a lot of things.
So there we go. Everyone, get in early. You gotta do it. Yeah, Hayden, tell people about the shows that you guys have going on and all the stuff that they can expect from the Underdog Content Wing.
Yeah, Josh Norris and I will do a preview show. We'll do live Q&A, recap shows. And then I have something called the Fantasy Usage Model, which kind of converts targets, carries, red zone looks, all that fun stuff into one stat. And I think that's my favorite piece of content to do each week. So you can find all that stuff on my Twitter at Hayden Winks.
There we go. Everyone, follow Twitter, download your Underdog app, promo code GRID. You can get a free entry into the Pick'em game. And we will be back next week.